Yes, I can't even walk. Oh, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains, oh, and the valleys too wide. Down on my knees, I learn. To have one guilty feeling, nor to wonder where you're going, where you die. Will not condemn by your past, not afraid of what tomorrow holds in store, and know the reason why. Oh yes, that's just how it is when you go down in the water, 'cause by faith believe in what you've heard. No impossible dream you can start over clean. When you're washed by the water of the word. Oh, I'm washed, yes, by the water. Yes, I'm washed by the water of the word. By the water, I'm washed by the water of the word. And it's like being born again with a whole new life to live, never having to look back to what you've been. Oh, 'cause of course, oh, you've just started your existence, and where he's concerned, never was a sin. For when God looks your way, he no longer sees a sinner, but a saint who's been washed white as snow. It's not by anything we've done, but by the blood of God's own Son. Oh, we're washed by the water. Oh, yes, I'm washed. Yes, I'm washed. Oh, by the water, I'm washed by the water of the word. Oh, I'm washed, oh, by the water, yes, I'm washed. Amen. Sing that first verse again. And do you know what it is not to have one guilty feeling, not to wonder where you're going when you die? Will not condemn by your past, not afraid of what tomorrow has in store, and know the reason why. Oh, that's just how it is when you go down in the water, 'cause by faith you believe in what you've heard. It's no impossible dream you can start over clean. When you're washed, amen, let's stand together and sing. Yes, I'm washed, oh, yes, I'm washed, oh, by the water. Yes, I'm washed by the water of the word. Oh, yes, I'm washed by the water. Yes, I'm washed by the water. Oh, yes, I'm washed, yes, I'm washed. Oh, by the water, yes, I'm washed by the water. like me is born again with a whole new life to live, never having to look back to what you said. Well, cousin boy, boy, you just started, and when he's concerned, there never was a sin. For when God looks your way, he no longer sees a sinner, but a saint who's been washed white as snow. It's not by anything we've done, but by the blood of God's own Son.
Jerry Scholl says a CAT scan on his lungs came back clear today. No mass or tumor, just what we asked our Lord when Brother Jason Jackson prayed. Our God is great. Amen. 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 We have a prayer request from our brother Ben Coleman. He says, please pray for a co-worker of his. He was backing up his truck at lunch on Monday. He ran over and killed a 3-year-old girl. Just want to remember him and that family in prayer. Also want to remember Brother Timothy. He's away ministering tonight at Brother Biscoll's church. So just keep him in prayer. Let's sing that song, Fill My Cup, Lord, I Lift It Up. Amen. Remember these needs, this family that's grieving. Amen. This one that has a heavy heart. You can just pray that God will come down and give him peace. Amen. Amen. If you have a need, just lift it up to him. He's a God that's answered Brother Jerry's request. He's a God that can answer your request. Amen. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up. Oh, yes, Lord. Come and quit this thirsting of my soul. My cup, Lord, and here's my cup. Oh, yes, I lift it up, Lord. Amen. Oh, come and quench, yes, this thirsting of my soul. Oh, you're the bread of heaven. Bread of heaven, come and feed. Amen. Brother John Lay, if you'll come open the service for us. I want no more. Here's my cup. Oh, yes, fill it up and make me whole. Here's my cup, Lord. Yes, here's my cup. I lift it up. Amen. Oh, yes. Come and quench. Oh, this thirsting of my soul. Oh, come and feed me, Lord. Oh, bread of heaven. Yes, feed me till I want.
us pray. Lord Jesus, we just give you thanks for this news from Brother Jerry, Lord God. What a blessing it is, oh God. And we just pray for him right now that it be a complete work, Lord, in his body. Do a complete healing in him, Lord, we pray, Lord God. And Lord, for Brother Timothy right now, Lord God, getting ready for service, Lord, to preach your word, oh God. We just pray, Lord, you just give them an unction, oh God, what the people need there, oh God. Fill them, Lord, with your word, Lord. Let a marvelous work be done, Lord God. And Lord, for this little child, Lord, Lord, we just pray for this situation, oh God. We just dedicate this to you. Be with the loved ones, oh God. Dedicate these things to you, Lord God. And Lord, for the word, Lord, this evening, oh God, we're just waiting, Lord, what you have for us. Lord, we see prophecy coming forth, Lord God. Lord, we're just waiting to see, Lord. We just have such a desire to go to a higher place on our walk, Lord God. Lord, lift us up, we pray, Lord God. Let the word come forth for whatever the need is and what you have for us this evening, oh God. Just stir the hearts, oh God. Continue, Lord, to bring these ones in that are on the fence or backslid, oh God. Continue to do the work, oh God. Lord, we just give you thanks for all you've done in each one of our lives, oh God. Lord, we just love you and appreciate you. Just such a blessing, oh God, to be able to hear your word, oh God, to be in a living, where there's a living God moving each day into different ones, oh God. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we dedicate ourselves to you. Amen, Lord.
Can take up the offering. I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. And he can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the oh, yes, I know him. I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. And he can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. I know the master of my boat of life sails on the troubled sea, and ever there's a wind in my sail. Oh, but I have a friend who watches. Oh, yes, when the breeze turns into a gale. Like an eagle in the sky, above the peaks my soul can be found. Oh, an unexpected storm, it may drive me from the heights, it may bring me low, but it oh yes, oh, I know.
Make the sun. Yeah.
mission, all is at rest and perfect submission. Yes, all is at rest. Oh, I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Oh, I'm watching and waiting. Yes, I'm looking above. I've been filled with His goodness and lost. Amen. Just lift your hands and sing it. Oh, this is my story. Yes, this is my song. My Savior. Amen. This is my story. Sing it again now. Yes, this is my story. Oh, this is my song. Praising my Savior. Together, I'm praising my Savior all the day long. And Jesus, You're the center of my joy, and all that's good comes from my joy. Jesus, You're the center of my joy, and all that's good all comes from You, and You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. You're the center of my joy. Jesus, You're the center of my joy. And all that's good and perfect comes from You. You're the heart of my contentment. Sing that one more time as our brother Joe comes. Yes, Jesus, You're the center of my joy. Oh, and all that's good and perfect comes from You.
Praise the Lord. You glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? I muted myself and didn't know I muted myself. Amen. Well, we're going to look into the Word tonight. We want to get straight into the Word. We're glad our pastor's home. Good to have him and Sister Lydia back with us, back in the fold. We just want to continue to remember Brother Timothy as he is out. He is speaking tonight at Cloverdale. And he has the Mount Baker camp this week, so just keep him in prayer. He is a representation of this body, and we want him and the church there to be blessed, the young people to be blessed, to get a touch of the Lord. May the Lord use him mightily. So you just keep him in prayer. Let's just go to the Word here, and we're going to look at 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 17, and we're going to read through chapter 4, verse 4. It says, "Now the Lord is a Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor in handling of the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost, and whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Let us just pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, that we have already felt your presence here tonight. Lord, we thank you that we have the liberty, Father, to come into your presence, to come into this building that's been dedicated for your service. And Lord, as we read in the scriptures tonight, there's a people that's being blinded. But Lord, we're being changed from glory unto glory. And I would ask tonight, Heavenly Father, that you would come, move the speaker aside. Lord, as I yield myself, my thoughts, my desires, my ambitions, my hopes for this service tonight, Lord, I'm giving it to you. And I'm asking that you will illuminate our eyes, Father, that we may not be blinded by the God of this world, but our eyes be open to the word of truth. And Lord, you would bring us into your presence. And let your glory and let your word just continue to be expounded to us, Father. We want to tell you that we love you tonight, Father. And we ask that you had the preeminence, not just in this service, but we ask that you had the preeminence in each and every heart and each and every life that's here. We ask it in Jesus' name. You can be seated tonight. I want to look back here in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. It says, "Whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them." Now, I want to speak to you just for a few minutes tonight on blinded by the God of this world. This past Saturday, we spoke on tearing down the gods of our lives. And we kind of, if you wanted, many of you asked, were you going to do a part two? And this is, if we would call it that, this is kind of be a part two or a continuation. But this phrase here, God of this world, it indicates that Satan is a major influence. He has major influence on the ideals, the opinions, goals, hopes, and views of the majority of the people of this world. His influence encompasses philosophies, or you want to call it religions, education, and commerce. His thoughts, ideas, speculations, and false religions of the world are under his control, and they sprung from his lies and his deceptions. The name God is not given to him because he has any divine attributes, but it's given to him because the masses pay homage to him. They give him room. They give him respect. They give him preeminence. But yet to an elect, he doesn't have that place. And we look in John 12 and 31 here. He's called the prince of this world. And this word world here means, it is meant the wicked world. It means the mass of people. Otherwise, he has dominion over the world, or he has dominion over the masses. I wish we could say that about our God. But the God of this world has blinded the minds of the men and women of this world. They obey his will. They execute his plans. They further his purposes and are obedient subjects. Now, if we just think just for a few minutes here, hear this God, and we're going to get to it, but we're going to find out how did he blind the minds of so many. And here he rules the heart and lives of the wicked people. They obey him. They submit. We as believers have a hard time at times submitting to the will of God, and yet you have the masses that are willingly submitting over to this God. They submit their will to Him. They commit fraud. They commit rape. They commit murder. They commit adulteries. They commit lewdness. There's wars. There's fightings. They're dishonest. And yet Satan has complete, total dominion over them. The world pursues his plans, yields to his temptations, neglects or rejects the reign of God as he pleases, and submits. They submit to his scepter. He extends his scepter to them, and they willingly accept it. But they're blinded. And we look here in Ephesians 2 and verse 2. It says that he's the prince of the power of the air. Now this title means that it signifies his capabilities. He's the prince of the power of the air. It's to signify that he in some way rules over all the people of the world. This is not saying that he rules the world completely. But God has given him a little bit of room. God has given him place so that he can rule in God's infinite wisdom. He's allowed Satan to operate within the boundaries of God's plan. But yet he has complete rule over the world. And that world there, again, it means the masses of the people. The Bible says that Satan has the power over the world. And we must remember that God has given him that power. And we got to remember also that he has power over the unbelievers. It's not the believers that he has rule over, but it's the unbelievers of the world. It's the great masses out there that don't believe the truth because they received not the love of the truth. And because they received not the love of the truth, then God had gave them over to a delusion. God has given them over to a deception, to a deceiving spirit. See, it's the unbelievers that are in the snare of the devil. It's the unbelievers that are in the power of the evil one. It's the unbelievers that are in the bondage to Satan. Not you as a believer, but it's the unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the unbelievers follow Satan's agenda. The god of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the glorious gospel. Satan's scheme includes promoting false philosophies in the world. Philosophies that blind the unbeliever to the truth of the gospel. Satan's philosophies are the fortress in which people are imprisoned. Do you not know that there's over 30,000 denominations in the world? All of them serving God. All of them worshiping Jesus. All of them thinking they're right. 30,000 plus denominations. 30,000. Brother Branham asked this question. He said, has God lost control? One would think God has lost control of his creation. I mean, you would think here you got all these masses that are serving this lie and serving this deceitful, this devil here. And yet, Brother Branham even asked the question, has God lost control or is he just permitting another agency to control? He goes, I wonder, the true answer to this question is, to my opinion, there is two opposing spirits in the world today at work. He said, there can't be no more than two. There's two heads. One of them is the Holy Spirit at work. The other one is the spirit of the devil in these last days in deception. So there's only two spirits. There's the Holy Spirit and there's the demonic spirit or the devil spirit. And Brother Brown says in another place, and I don't have it in my notes tonight, but you can go back and look it up. But he says, you're going to be controlled by either one of these two spirits. And as I spoke on Saturday, you were created to worship. God created man with a desire on the inside to worship Him. So you're going to worship something, whether you worship the living God or whether you worship a false philosophy of what God is. Because you were created to worship. You're not going to be a bystander. There's no bystanders in this. You may think you're on the fence, but Satan owns the fence. It's time you jump off the fence, get on side and serve a living God. His attributes are true. His word is pure. It's unadulterated. It'll keep you. It'll stay you. It'll deliver you. It'll bring a healing to your body. This word that we serve, church, it's not just some man's idea from some man's intellect, but it's the living God being manifested in an end time. Now he says these two spirits, one of them, God's Holy Spirit, the other one is the devil's spirit, working in deception. And the people of the earth are now making their choice. The people of the earth are now. Before the son of perdition can come, there must be a falling away. People now making their choice. I can't handle this message.
It's so full of contradictions. It's got so full of lies, and things don't add up. Things don't line up. I can't put this here and I can't put this here. God never asked you to understand it. God asked you and commended you and commissioned you to believe this word. He said the Holy Spirit is here vindicating the message of the hour. Oh, hallelujah. God's going to have a bride. And the Holy Spirit is here. Why are they leaving? Because the Holy Spirit is here vindicating the bride. It shows what side you're on. It shows what God you're worshiping. It shows what Holy Spirit or what spirit is tabernacling your body. It shows whom you've given yourself over to. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is here vindicating the message of the hour. He doesn't need man's vindication. God don't need man's approval. God will do his own approving. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit is doing this so that the people that believe God will be called out of this chaos. Amen. The Holy Spirit, let me just read it one more time. The Holy Spirit is here vindicating the message of the hour. And the Holy Spirit is doing this so that the people that believe God will be called out of this chaos. Those that are streaming tonight, listen to it. You're being called out of the chaos. Hallelujah. Somebody's going to be called out of the chaos. Somebody tonight's going to be called out of the chaos. Somebody tonight is going to get a true representation or a true revelation of this word and be called out of the chaos. You may be here tonight and you may be in the throes of doubts and frustrations and can't figure this out. But somebody's going to be called out of chaos because God's word will not return to him void. But the devil's unholy spirit is here calling his church by error. As usual, by perversion of the word, like he did in the beginning, see it coming right back to the seed time again from Eden. Now, don't we know the Bible says that it will deceive the very elect if possible? That's Matthew 24:24. It will deceive. Now, how does he do this? We look in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10, if you put that up. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they shall believe a lie, because they don't have a love for this truth. Now, how many of you got the Holy Ghost? The Bible says the Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you into all truth. There's only one truth, but he'll lead you in throughout that entire truth. He'll show you the end from the beginning. He'll put all the pieces for you together. So if you got the Holy Spirit, or if your desire, you're here tonight and you're confused, all you guys do is say, Lord, give me the Holy Spirit, so it'll wash away all the confusion. It'll clear all the clouds of doubt up, because it'll lead you and you'll see what is truth in this day. You will see who is truth in this hour. But because they don't have a love for the truth, God gives them over to a strong delusion. And this word delusion means false representation or illusion. Error or mistake proceeding from false views. The word blinded here, we're going to look here in John 12 and verse 40. He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I shall heal them. The minds of the unbelievers are blinded. And God is here to unveil himself before you. But you can't let the demonic schemes and the false philosophies and riches and all these other things blind you from seeing who God is. Let's take, for instance, tonight, because we're speaking on blinded by the god of this world. If we was to take a penny or a dime, and you take that penny or dime, that's not much money, is it? To some of y'all, it probably is. To me, it's a lot. You got four kids, you'll take a dime, you'll pick a penny up off the street. But let's just take that penny, because we know it ain't worth much. And you take that penny and you put it ever so close to your eye. What happens to your sight? You become blind. It shuts out everything out there. It shuts out the sunlight coming in. It doesn't allow the sun to get to the seat of your vision to where you can see. And yet it's just a small, insignificant piece of money. But yet how many times as we as people allow money to blind us and entice our ambitions and yet delude us or deceive us from what really is true in this world? We let so many things take the place of where this should be placed, whether it be fashion, whether it be wealth, whether it be objects of pleasure. And we exalt these things. As I spoke the other night, we've exalted so many things above God. And yet it blinds us from the reality of living an overcoming life. We let our ambitions take importance over submitting to the will of God. Well, I'm going to do this. I got this will. What about submitting your will to His will? We find that even Satan will give you vices and allow you to become blinded by the vices of this world, vices such as theaters. Now, hopefully none of us here tonight have that problem. But yet, Satan pulled one over on us. I don't have a TV, but you got internet. You can see anything on YouTube that you can watch on television. And if God is not seated on the throne of your heart, there is where you're going to feed. And there is where it's going to now, that vice and that feeding, that passion or feeding this craving of this earthly vessel is going to take preeminence over feeding on the Word of God. And yet we find there's bars on every corner, and there's casinos right down the road in Shreveport, and there's theaters. There's all these things to appease this flesh. And what does it do? It blinds the Word from your life. It shuts off the life stream. But God said in His Word that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But He knew that they would not all be saved and that all would not have a love for this truth. So He gives them over to a strong delusion, to a deception, that they would believe a lie and be damned by it. Eve never just simply walked out and said, "I don't believe God." And every person that's left this church never walked out saying, "I don't believe God." They find something else wrong way before they walk out those doors. And I can tell you, that problem that's wrong is because Jesus never tabernacled that heart. The Holy Ghost never came in and took preeminence. Satan never come out and said that the Word wasn't right. He never said that the Word wasn't of God. No, he admitted the Word was God, but he just put his own twist to it. He put his own slant to it. He perverted the truth and made Eve give over to the error versus staying with the true Word of God. What is it? It's the spirit of delusion. And Brother Bram said the spirit of delusion is of the devil. And it's now working in the children of disobedience. And that word disobedience there means rebellion. Rebelling against what? Rebelling against the Word of God. Rebelling against the Word of the hour. And we find in this day, in this hour, in the message ranks, so many are being deluded out there. They're going off wandering astray. Why? Because they didn't have a love of the truth. And now they're working in disobedience, rebelling against the revealed Word of the hour. And God had given him over to a strong delusion. But you can't tell them. You can't tell them. How dare you tell them that they're wrong? They're tolerant. How we can rub shoulders with this one and rub shoulders with this one, and we can do all these things. We're all one. Balaam said that. Balaam said, "We're all one." God never forgave them. They listened to Balaam's lie, his deception, and God never forgave them. Brother Bram said, only three came out. Now let's just look just for a minute. We're going to see where this enemy of ours is sitting at. We look in Revelations. We're going to see where Jesus is at, and then we're going to look in Thessalonians, and we're going to see where God is or where Satan's at. In Revelations 3, the Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me." No other age has he been put out of the church. You let a denominational person read this, they just believe, well, you know, you were born in sin, you didn't have Christ, so he's outside your heart. But really, he's outside the church. Because when we look at 2 Thessalonians 2, the Bible says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who does what? Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshiped, so that he as God sitteth where? He sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. What a delusion. How did he deceive the masses? By this one scripture. When the church world, Brother Ram says, in the God of this evil age, he says, and when the church world will not have the word of God rule over them, they accepted a murderer, Barabbas. Because they didn't want the word. The word was manifest right there. And they accepted a murderer, Barabbas, over the word of God. And he said, what did this do? It exalted Satan, the god of this evil age, to the place that he's always wanted. Satan is not, he's not spoke of the god of any other age, but this age. He is the god of this evil age, worshipped by millions and billions of people, and they don't know it. How many know how many Catholics there are in the world? 1.2 billion Catholics. How many Protestants? 2.18 billion Protestants. There's 6.9 billion people in the world. So 2.18, we'll round it up, 2.2 and 1.8, or 1.2 and 2.2 is 3.4. You got to give me math. I mean, I use a calculator at work or a spreadsheet. It's the simple things. But we find here that half of the world's population is either Catholic or Protestant. And you got those that are Muslim. It's like, I can't remember the 27 million, something like that. It's a high number as well. But you find all these people in the world, and yet they all claim to worship God. They all claim to have the truth. So if there's 30,000 denominations, why can't we all agree? Somebody's got to be right and somebody's got to be wrong. So he's worshipped. Now listen to what Brother Bram says. He is the god of this evil age, worshipped by millions and billions. And I just quoted you, over half of the billions of this world are either Catholic or Protestant. Satan's ambition, Isaiah 14, verse 12. Let's look at his ambition from the very beginning. How art thou fallen, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weakest the nations? For thou, here it is, thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. What an arrogant spirit. I'm going to do all this. And yet he was created. Oh, he was a beautiful angel. He was arrayed in every stone, sardis and all these different ones. He walked in the fire, the stones of fire and whatnot. I mean, you can go in Ezekiel and you can read all that. But we find here that Satan is not called the god of any other age, but his ambition was to be like God from the very beginning. And we find it here, I will. Yet instead of submitting his will to the will of the Father, he exalted his will above the God's will that had deceived 2/3 of the stars of heaven, or the angels of heaven. And these angels were created to worship God. They weren't no free moral agency like you and I are. And yet his glorious gospel, his wonderful intellect, his beautiful message that he brought to them deceived 2/3 of them. And we wonder why. How can humanity be deceived? If he can deceive 2/3 that were created to worship, what about the billions, 6.9 billions that are on free moral agency? See, he said, Brother Bram says, it was Satan's ambition to be worshiped like God. He took two-thirds of the stars of heaven. He ascended himself above the stars and preached to them and deceived 2/3 of them. You see it? All right. Notice, that's his ambition. So why is he attacking me? How many of you wonder that? Because you are the apple of God's eye. And he ain't happy with two-thirds of the angels. His whole focus in life now is to come and to see the very elect, if it be possible. But I got a newsflash, devil. It's not possible tonight. The elect stand with the word of God. The elect are filled with the Holy Ghost. The elect are being led from glory unto glory and changed by the infinite glory of God. So he intends to set himself up as supreme. And he's designed that all the nations and all the billions of the world would pay homage to him. Revelation 13 and verse 8. As I said earlier, you're going to be crowned by either one of these two spirits. All that dwell upon the face of the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So he never intended to recognize the authority of God. But he was going to exalt himself at all costs above all that's even called God. He never intended to submit his will to the will of God, but he was going to be superior to God in heaven, on earth, and beneath the earth. He was going to reign supreme. How does he do that, Brother Joe? He comes on earth and says, you know what? I'll make a better world for them to live in. I'm going to build them great big churches. I'm going to give them great big fancy education, schools where they can have learning. And he said, Brother Bram says, by his knowledge apart from the never-failing word of God, but by his coming together in denominations and in creeds and in intellectuals and in scientific and in so forth, he is making a better world for man to live in and ignoring the promises of God. I don't need his education. I don't need his beautiful church to go worship God in. I can worship God at home if I have to. All I need is God to come on the inside and bring me a true word in this hour. Amen. See, the only time the world would be fit to live in is in the millennium. Brother Bram says this now. He goes, you know my opinion? He made a better world to sin in. Oh, but he's coming to bring you a beautiful church full of highly educated people. Well, what about the idiots out there? They got to serve God too. I'm sure they got along and they were created to worship God. But he's going to exalt intellect. So when you look at that man behind the podium, you think, oh, he's some... I used to remember when I was in the Baptist church and the preacher would preach, I was scared to go shake his hand. I thought he was some big somebody. You know, we get them a place. Oh, he's so smart. He's so intellectual. He speaks to the thousands every Sunday, two services or three services, two in the morning and one in the evening. And we set these men way up here because of intellect. Right. He puts his pants on the same way I do. One leg at a time. So he's no higher than me. There's no big I and little you. Thank be to God. I need that lift me up tonight. When you're 5'5" and you lost an inch last year because a woman told you was 5'5", you got to do all you can to get big. That's why I drive a big truck. My boy has a big bike. One of the brothers come over to the house the other day and said, your son's got the same problem you do, don't you? I said, I picked that bike out. That was my doing. I did that. He'll grow into it. One day I'll grow into it. But he comes and he claims to make a better world to live in. And what does he do? He legalizes sin. He legalizes whiskey drinking. He legalizes smoking cigarettes. He legalizes homosexual marriages. He legalizes abortion. And now, I just read the other day in the news, he's even legalized any age of euthanasia for children. That kids can make their own mind up to go and be submitted to death. And he's even legalized, listen, he's legalized that women can be a member of the church and cut her hair, wear makeup, put on earrings, and all that, and still be a part of God or the family of God. What a delusion. She can wear shorts, wear pants, still belong to a religious group, which is absolutely contrary to the word of God. And he says, it's all right. You're so much prettier this way. She worships, Brother Bram says, now she being the church. We want to look at it as a church because if you want to know what the church is doing, you look at the women of the world. All right, they're our timepiece. So we can see that. You brothers have a hard enough time keeping your head straight because everywhere you look is nudity. But she worships the God of fashion. and even tries to bring that fashion right here to this house. Because if you're not astute enough or filled with the Holy Ghost, then he'll slip it right on in. Well, my dad doesn't see anything wrong with this. Well, your dad needs to have his eyes opened by the Word of God because there's blinders on him. I thank God that we got some sisters that are wanting to go through this modesty class or modesty sermons and all that to teach it. I don't think it should be taught, but hey, go for it. Teach it. Put it forth. Because apparently it's not being done at home. But she worships the God of fashion, the God of the world, Hollywood goddess. She loves him, but she hates the true Word of God. You can't tell me that my clothes are not too tight. My daddy didn't say nothing, or my husband didn't say nothing. How dare you stand behind the pulpit and say anything about my dress? Because she loves the God of fashion. But she hates the true Word of God. Listen to what Brother Brown says. She hates the true Word of God, which is the only true God there is. If you would fall in love with the only true God, then your dress would change. And I'm not just preaching to you here because I don't believe that problem is prevalent here. But when you go out into the streets and you go out in different churches, different communities, you'll find there is a major problem out in the church world or even in the message ranks. Because there's not enough men with backbone with the Holy Ghost to stand firm on the Word of God. They want to compromise. This is no time to compromise, church. We're living in the last days. And I know people, I'm tired of hearing about us living in the last days. You're going to wake up one day and it's going to be too late. You need the warning sign. You need the roadblock. You need something telling you the time is drawing near. Shape up or ship out because there's going to be a bride that's going to leave. He's going to pull somebody up out of the chaos of Laodicea. I say, Lord, pour me out. Let me line up to the Word of God. Let my life toe the mark tonight. But he's the God of worldly beauty. And she wants to be beautiful. I don't want my wife looking like a hag. But I don't want her looking like a prostitute either. I do not want her looking like a prostitute. I judge every garment that comes in and out of my house. And she has enough Holy Ghost in her to come and model it in front of me and says, how does this look? Is it too tight? Is it too revealing? And I have enough backbone and Holy Ghost to say, yeah, you don't need to wear that. Unless you plan on going to the denomination church. But when you go to even like Tabernacle with me, you're not going. Because we don't wear that in this house. And it goes for my daughters. Well, they're only 8. They're only 5. No, you set a precedent right there at 8 and 5. What are you going to allow in your home? You're going to allow these tops, although they may not be formed yet because they're young, but yet you allow these things to draw attention to places where they shouldn't because one day these young girls are going to be big girls. And they've got to wear those clothes all their life. And now all of a sudden you're drawing attention to parts that shouldn't be drawn attention to. Why am I here? I don't know, but somebody may need it. But we find he's the God of worldly beauty. She wants to be beautiful, and he is the God of beauty from the beginning. He can and he has achieved by his knowledge and science, materials, and to make beauty for his, the model age, this modern age, rather, of evil, it's made beautiful. Beauty, he says. So he sits, and he's sitting in the temple of God, and he's telling you it's all right to wear that. It's all right to watch TV. It's all right to do this. And it's all right to do that. And yet it's contrary to the Word. But it's okay because he's created you a better world to live in. He's given you the ability to worship the way you want to. Instead of you rising up to God's standard, now God somehow comes down to your standard and your way of life. What you feel you need to worship God at. Instead of raising you up to another level, you now bring God down to where he's not even God. Because now you've exalted Satan in the house of God. Because you have more of a passion and a desire to be beautiful and wear the fashion of the world and do the things of the world. And you put those things before your eyes and it blinds the glorious gospel for being in preview. Brother Bam says, here he is today in deceit. That treacherous hour, that tremendous time that we're living in is the most glorious time of all the ages, because we are facing the great millennium age. We're facing the Eden again. But right at this age, all the deceit and every tactic that he has ever used and been able to deceive with, he's gathered it all together and reinforced himself, and he come down like God. And he's deceived the nations. All will worship him whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's religious. He can quote the scriptures. He can tell you the scriptures. Just as Satan did in Eve in the Garden of Eden. But leave out one spot. That's all he has to do, and put a gap there, and the poison doctrine run right through. What has he done in every age? He's explained the power of God away. He's explained the promises of God away. We're looking at the days of Noah. Oh, they got these scientific instruments. They can shoot the moon. There's no rain up there. There's no water up there. Deceived the masses to where only 8 souls came out. In the days of Jesus, here they come. He come riding in. Hosanna to the highest. Hosanna to the highest. And got in there with deceit and said, crucify him. Several days later. If thou be the Son of God, then you do this and you do this and you do that. And he tells you the same thing. If thou be the Son of God. Jesus didn't clown for the devil, nor should we clown for the devil. I'm not his puppet. You do exactly what Jesus did and said, it is written, get thee behind me. For thou shalt worship the Lord thy God only. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But we find, Brother Bam talks now, he says here in Satan's Eden, it's again, and again, it is a religious sin as the beginning, deceitful, watch it now, not just purely every day committing adultery, getting drunk, and using God's name in vain. It's religious sin now today. He says, you take the prostitute. She's not going to be disappointed when she's there. She knows she's a prostitute. You take the drunkard. He's not going to be disappointed when he ends up there. No, he's a drunkard or a whoremonger or this one or that one. But you take the person that says, Brother Joe, I was born in church. I was raised in church. And yet you never got the Holy Ghost. You never went far enough. He'll say, depart from me, you that work iniquity. And iniquity is to do something that you know is right and you do exactly opposite of it. You're going to be disappointed on that day. Because you sit there stone cold. I got time. You don't have time. You sit there and you, in the knowing the Lord is dealing with you, tugging on that heart. But yet you want to exalt your intellect or you want to exalt your ideas and you don't want nobody to see you submit to the will of God. I say the greatest thing that we can do as a man and woman is to submit ourselves to the Father's authority. I will humble every bit of pride I have just to know that I'm right with God. I don't care if I lose everything that I've ever gained in this side of this world. As long as I got Christ, it's all worth it all, church. But the Bible tells us in Revelation 18 that he's going to become a habitation of all devils, or every devil, every unclean and hateful bird. And yet it's sitting in the house of God. This church and that church and this church and that church and this higher, this scientific reasoning and that scientific reasoning. Brother Bam said the world is heading to a climax. The spirit of lawlessness, moral decay, scientific reasoning has led to the cage of every hateful and unclean bird. And he says he will deceive the elect. That's who he's after. He is after the elect. He's after you tonight. It's time we quit playing games. It's time we quit thinking, well, I'll wait till somebody can put the dots together for me. Don't worry about the dots. Worship him in between the dots. Worship him. The dots will get put together later on the other side. And you'll see the beautiful picture and you'll say, I'm glad I trusted. Because as long as on this side you're trying to put this with this and this with this and this with this, it'll never make sense to you because we're finite. He's infinite. He's an infinite God and you're trying to figure out an infinite God with a peon brain. I don't care what you scored on ACT or on the SAT or whatever else you scored on. It don't make a hill of beans to God. What makes God pleasurable is when you submit yourself to God and put your intellect below him and say, God, I'm submitting all that I am to you tonight. I'll give you my gift. I'll give you my intellect. I'll give you my passion. I'll give you my pride. I'll give you everything that I am, God. Just take control tonight. Take my ambitions. Make me what you want me to be. Mold me and shape me. For you're the potter, and I want to be your clay. I've never seen a clay jump off the wheel because it didn't want to submit to the potter. It's placed there for a reason, and it's high time we allow the sculptor's hand to sculpt our lives. The same tactic that he used in the beginning, he's using again today. Eve didn't know anything about sexual pleasure. And he enticed her. You could be as God. He started twisting the word. Surely you won't die. And something inside of her began to call out for it. She didn't know, but she wanted to know. She didn't understand that side of it, but she wanted to understand. And God has never asked us to understand. He said, believe. I'm here to tell you tonight, I probably can't quote, and I hate to say it, but I'm not worried about how many scriptures I can quote to you. He said, but you're a preacher. That don't matter. Yeah, I think I should do my part, study the word, and be able to rightfully divide the word. But he's not worried about how much I can quote it. What about me submitting to it and living it? What about you submitting to it and living it? He don't need message queries running around, everybody quoting the message. Just live it. Submit to it. Don't try to understand it. Say, God, I believe it. I hang my soul over this message. Lord, I'm going to do this, but I may not figure it out. It doesn't matter about me figuring it out on this time. But Lord, today, while there is today, I'm going to submit it to you, and I'll let you bring the answer in your time. And I've never seen God fail me on that yet. He'll tell people that the Bible is full of contradictions. Why do you think there's atheists out there? Sister Lily was telling me, I brought out about atheists this past Saturday, and she was telling me a story that she heard on the radio about an atheist, why he became an atheist, because he went to a church and a woman stared him up and down. He turned around and walked away. He said, well, if she's going to look at me like that, then the entire church will look at me like that. If she was a representation of the body, and if she's going to look like that and treat me like that, then guess what? All of them inside are going to do the same thing. So he decided to turn away, and he went to the atheist. And guess what the atheist preacher said? He says, fine, we accept you. Here's the difference between atheist and Christian. Atheist, we tell you right up front, you're going to hell. Christian religion, you go and you serve God all these years, and you don't know if you're going to heaven or hell. But the atheist, you're going to hell. I'm sorry, newsflash, I don't want to be told I'm going to hell. You want to talk about fear-stricken. He gave a testimony. There they went. He trained his kids, brought his kids up in this atheist movement. They would go to school testifying that there's not a God. There's not a God. You're going to go to hell anyway. You're going to go to hell anyway. And just preaching and preaching and preaching. One day he walked outside and looked up to the stars and he said, my God, only you can do that. And fell to his knees and repented. Pulled his family out, pulled his children out, and they begin to testify and testify and testify of the saving power of God. Amen. And if he can do that for an atheist, what about us tonight? If your father was to tell you and your loyal son, tell you don't go down to that pond over there because there's alligators. We live in Louisiana. There's alligators in that pond. But yet you let some city slicker from Shreveport come by. That pond is too pretty. It don't have alligators in it. Who are you going to believe? I tell you what, I'm going to believe Farmer Pruitt here that knows what's in the pond because he lives close to the pond. I'm not worried about the city slicker that lives in Shreveport. He don't know his head from a hole in the ground. And he definitely don't know what an alligator looks like because his eyes are popping up out of the pond. But if you're a loyal son, you're going to heed to what the father says. But if you got itching ears, you want to know what the city slicker is saying. Why is there no, why should I go? Or why should this? Yeah, it is a pretty pond. It doesn't matter how pretty the pond is. The father said, don't go. But you know, Satan never came, and we're going to get through this. Satan never came and said, I'm Satan. I'm the mighty angel. Bow down and worship me. He never did that. This is coming out of the message Satan needs, just so you can go back to it. He says, we are now entering into where Satan is taking the throne as the Antichrist in an Eden of this earth, an Eden of sin. Please tell me tonight that all of you can open your eyes and see that we are in an Eden. It's not the one we want to be in, but it's the one we're going to come up out of. This is Satan's Eden. The cup of iniquity is filling up. He says, listen now, he says, Eden of earth, Eden of sin, perverted religion. He started not upon, I am Satan, I'm the great angel. No, not upon that, but upon perverting God's word. And that's how he's brought his kingdom in every age. He was called Lucifer, son of the morning. He was the light bringer. He had daily conversations with God. He was God's right hand. They had intimate discussions about all the creation. He was perfect in all his ways until iniquity was found in him. Him and God were equal in all aspects except that he could not create. So what did he do? Because he exalted himself above God, he deceived, twisted the word of God, and deceived 2/3 of the angels. Satan knew that God was going to create man with a desire to worship. And you can sit here this evening and say, I don't have a desire to worship God. God's not for me. I don't feel the pull of God. There is a desire in each of you here tonight to worship something. Amen. You might as well let God be the object of your affection tonight. Amen. What we find here, he was not happy with 2/3 of the angels. He wanted the apple of God's eye. And he's come 6,000 years to create this Eden so that he can deceive this elect. And what does he do? Twist the word. He disguises himself in various forms of philosophies and religions so that he can draw men away from the true word of God and appease their conscience of going to church. In all aspects, he's being worshipped as God. Blinded by the God of this world in the house of God. By false religions. Brother Bram said, talking about Adam and Eve, he said, they were wholly veiled. They were safe in God's provision. They were alive. They had no death around them. Hallelujah. They had perfect love, one for the other, perfect life forever. They had perfect love, perfect understanding of the love of God. That, and say, they had God's word and kept it, and they were alive and safe in God's Eden with no death at all around them. Then Satan got Eve to listen to his gospel of theology, of the gospel of knowledge. Higher schooling, higher ethics, better civilization, higher education, and so forth. Her to stop and listen to him for a minute, to his reasonings, which we are commanded to cast down when he got her to listen to it. She stopped just for a minute. That's all it takes, young person, is just a minute to put the dial to 96 point whatever, send my soul to hell. Or wanky tank, we're going to wind and down all the way to hell, boogie, 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 boogie. Mm-hmm. Or you go to the store and you dress in that fashion that he loves you to dress in. Going to bring your soul to hell. All you got to do is stop for a minute. But we're commanded to keep walking on by. Yeah. You want to put the blinders on to his theology, his enticements. The Bible tells us that we're to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring in into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Brother Bram says she pulled off the holy veil. She had a desire for knowledge, so she stripped off the holy veil and she put on a lust veil. She was naked the entire time. At one point, she never knew it. And when she pulled that lust veil off, she knew then that she was naked. And the Bible says today that the women today, the church today, the people today are blind, miserable, wretched, and naked, and they don't even know it. You can't even tell them by the word that they're in that condition. Because now that lust veil blinds them from the reality of God. Brother Bam says she took off God's holy veil and put on the veil of knowledge for lust. And now she has a lust veil that she is blind to it being, and she's blind to it being sin. She is naked on the street and don't know it. She's a prostitute on the street. And that's the condition of the church. Brother Mark said it was Eve that Satan used to make Adam sin by the power of lust. So why has it been in any other day besides this day that women have been exalted to the place that they're exalted? Because it's his device that he's using today to send millions of souls to hell. Brother Mark said it sent more souls to hell than a bootleg joint. We want you to be beautiful, but we want you to be modest. Be Holy Ghost filled. Dress yourself the way you need to be dressed. Cover yourself in the covering of righteousness and holiness. She took off the clothes that God dressed her in the back in Eden for the journey through this wilderness. She took them off. She stripped herself down when God had wrapped her all in his skins, or wrapped her all over in skins. She began to shave a little each time. Now she is back to where she was in the beginning, naked, and she don't even know it. Brother Mamma says she's blind, naked, and don't know it. Not them poor little women out there. There is nothing wrong I got against them. It's that evil. And that system of the churches seems to fail to recognize it or stand against it. Let them bob off their hair, wear makeup, short things under the name of Christianity. What a horrible thing it is. And they are naked again in Satan's Eden and knows it not. They don't know it. Talking about disappointments at judgment. They go to the church. Some of them go to church way better than some of us. Some of you run out of peanut butter and you're staying at home. I don't mean to be ugly, but this should be our main desire. This should be our passion in life. I mean, you rub shoulders every day if you could only see the spirit behind it. And yet, for any excuse, we stay out of the house of God and you look and you could see the Holy Ghost behind these vessels here, you would want to gather more and more. But she's naked. Her body is sacred. She strips off the clothes that God clothed her with skin for this generation. She constantly cuts it off. She is naked under the word of civilization, higher education, better civilization, higher ethics. Let me be sure that this soaks in. It's all of the devil and will be destroyed at the coming of the Lord Jesus. It will be destroyed, every bit of it. There won't be one thing left. So, Bro Joseph, we'll pick me up tonight. I'm trying to remove the blinder so you can see truth from error. Let me go just one other place. We'll bring it to a close here in just a few minutes. The Bible speaks here in Revelations 9, chapter 13, 19, Micah 5. It talks about, Revelations 13 and 8 talks about there would be a move toward a one world religion. And I've always wondered this. Brother Branham spoke so many times about the ecumenical system in the church of ecumenicalism. And it's a word that we don't hear much today. That was a word that was used prevalent. And it's still alive and it's still real, but it was used major back in the 50s and 60s because there was a big push 40, 50 years ago for the coming of together or the melding together of the churches. But yet the Protestants were still protesting the Catholic system and they withstood that and they wouldn't allow themselves to gel together. But just the other day, many of you may have seen this on Facebook, but on standupforthetruth.com, the Pope Francis had sent a video message to Kenneth Copeland here. Can I read this just for a few minutes? The headlines were, "We are galloping toward a one world melding of religions and the ramifications are staggering." Pope Francis has now sent a video message of the word, or video message to Word of Faith Father Kenneth Copeland using a reconciliation between Catholics and Charismatics. This is called the Catholic and Charismatic Renewal. He sent a bishop. The bishop name was Bishop Tony Palmer. He was actually influenced early in life by Kenneth Copeland because he was a charismatic who converted to Catholicism. And he calls Kenneth Copeland his first spiritual father, and he calls Pope Francis his third spiritual father. Before he became a pope, they were together in Argentina. But let me just read. He says, Palmer said, these words are from the Vatican. Before playing the video message from the Pope Francis to Kenneth Copeland, Palmer told the crowd, "When my wife saw that she could be Catholic, charismatic, evangelical, and Pentecostal, and it was absolutely accepted in the Catholic Church, because he was married to an Italian woman, that she said that she would like to reconnect her roots with the Catholic culture, and so she did. And if you go and you look at this video, 23 minutes into this video, Bishop Tony Palmer states that he believes that he comes in the spirit of Elijah. He come in the spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of those Protestant children back to the faith of the Catholic fathers. And now the Catholic fathers back to the heart of the Protestant children. Remember that the Catholics believed that man was justified by works. And there was a man of God, first reformer, Martin Luther, who stood against it. Martin Luther, he said man is justified by faith through grace. Well, in 1999, many of you may not know this, and I didn't know this, but in 1999, the Catholic Church and the Lutheran Church signed an agreement. They found the middle road here. And that middle road states that we are saved through faith by grace that leads to good works. So now the two of them are jailed together. And not long after that, the Methodist Church signed the same agreement, and now they're jailed together. The crowd cheered as he continued, "Brothers and sisters," he says, "Luther's protest is over, is yours." And I ask you tonight, if the protest is over, then that makes us all Catholics. I'm here to tell you, I'm not Catholic. I'm a son of God. You don't stamp Baptist on me. You don't stamp Methodist on me. You don't stamp message on me. You stamp Son of God on me. I'm not identified by some denominational idea. I'm not identified by some creed. I'm identified by the Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside. And every born again son or daughter of God is identified the very same way. Not by some creed, not by some dogma, not by some doctrine, but by the Father himself, the life of Jesus Christ coming on the inside and dwelling and making you an overcomer. The Pope says in his message, he's yearning that this separation will come to an end and we will be one, or we will have communion. He went on to say, just as Joseph's brothers were hungry and they went down to Egypt to buy bread or to buy food to eat, he says, they went to buy, they had money, but they couldn't eat the money. But they were when they got there, they found more than food. They found their brother. He's using this type to bring the Protestants and the Holy Catholic Church back together. He says, all of us have currency, the currency of the culture, currency of history. We have a culture, we have riches, we have religious riches. He says, we have diverse traditions, but we have to encounter one another as brothers. We must cry out together like Joseph did, and these tears will unite us, the tears of love. He's the first charismatic pope since St. Francis. Hence, he's Pope Francis. He's charismatic. He's unlike any of the other ones. He wants to be widely accepted. Kenneth Copeland finds this development incredible, and he states toward the end, he says, heaven is thrilled over this. Heaven is thrilled over this movement. He says, 47 years ago, you would have never thought this was possible. But in Revelation 18, he goes, after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, this great whore is fallen. And it's fallen, and it's become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations are drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through her abundance of her delicacies. But I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her! I'm telling you, there's a people, there's a cry going through the land today. Come out of her, my people, and be ye not partakers of her plagues. Receive not of her sins. Come out of her. In this age, blinded, that's being blinded by the god of this world, God is calling out a people. Notice, not a church, but He's calling out a people for His name's sake. He didn't say, I'm going to call a Methodist or a Baptist. I'm not going to call the Pentecostal, but I'm calling a people. He's calling not a church group, but a people for His name that receives His name, that is engaged in His name, that is going to be to a wedding to be married in His name, that's going to take on His name. You're not going to take on Baptist or Methodist or Catholic or this, that, or the other, but you're taking on the name of Jesus Christ. He has become your head, and you have submitted your rights over to Him. Not what somebody said, not what someone called, but God called. God chose you before the foundation of the world. Brother Bram says, we find in this evil age, and the musicians can come, that we find in this evil age, she, not like Eve, she is not the type, she's proven to Satan. He says, let me back up. We find now, this evil age is to prove to Satan, she, the bride, is not like Eve. That she is not that type of woman. What are you talking about, that type of woman? Eve submitted herself to another man before yielding herself to her husband. But this bride, she's not giving herself over to other men. She has no head but Him. She's not opening herself up to other ideas and other theologies and other doctrines. She's given herself over to His headship. There's not another man that she's enticed with. The Bible says she's not wrinkled. She's not marred. Play that song if you would. Brother Bam said, listen, His great mystery. Oh, Satan wanted to exalt himself. I will. But God had a great mystery. Oh, hallelujah. That He chose the bride, knowing Eve was going to fall from disbelieving the word, knowing that she would fall, but He would choose a bride that would not fall. Aren't you thankful tonight, brother and sister? Oh, it may feel like you're at your wit's end, that you're about to give in, you're about to cave to the pressures of Laodicea, but He chose, hallelujah, tonight. He chose a bride that you can't fall. Because it's not you, it's God in you. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. He chose a bride that would not fall, that would hold to the word, regardless what all the rest of the world had to say about it. They would hold to that word. They are predestinated to stand there. Adopted children by Jesus Christ. Predestinated the church to this great, glorious stand. There was a time when we all walked according to the passions of this world, to the lust of this world, to the deceit of this world. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Even, Brother Philip, when you was out there in the bar, even when you were choking on a cigarette and turning up the bottle like many of us has done, when you were doing that, when you were dead in sins, hath He quickened. What did He do? He removed the blinders off your eyes. He removed that lust veil for the things of this world, and He replaced it with a holy veil so that you can have a love for this word, so you can have a love for God, so you can have a love for the truth. He quickened us together, and now, listen, brother and sister, now we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that, listen, the Bible says that we are now the sons of God. Oh, Brother Joe, I don't feel like a son. I had a tough day. Yeah, it's a tough time when you're fighting hand-to-hand combat with the devil. You get dirt on you. You get spit on you. You get the muck of the world on you. But it doesn't rule out the fact that now we are sons of God. Brother Joe, I don't feel amazing. I don't feel great. I don't feel like a son. I don't look like a son. But the Scripture says that yet it do not appear what we shall be. But we know when we see Him, oh, when we see Him, we're going to be changed and we're going to be just like Him. I don't feel like it. But the Bible says I'm a son. I'm going to hang my hat tonight on my sonship. I look at myself, short stature, got issues, got flaws, got faults. Lord, we can write a list a mile long. But the Bible says, when I see him, I'm going to be changed. I'm going to look just like that. I'm going to be perfect in all ways. You know, Satan said, I'm going to exalt myself. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And I'm gonna ascend into heaven. I'm gonna exalt my throne above the stars of God. I'm gonna sit on the mount of the congregation on the south of the north. I'm gonna ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I'm gonna be like the Most High God. Oh, but let me tell you, brothers and sisters, in the next verse, God says it all. He says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the size of the pit. I'm telling you, church, he don't have victory over you tonight. He may want to exalt himself above your reasoning. He wants to exalt himself above your body and your flesh and your cares of this world. But the word says that he shall be brought down to the hell, even to the pit. Oh, glory to God tonight. I don't know what you're facing in life, but God has given you a word that your enemy has already been defeated. He's already been destroyed. He's already been cast down. He's already defeated tonight. Oh, let me tell you, you're not blinded by the God of this world. Hallelujah. You're not blinded by the God of this world because you've been called by Heavenly Father. And no devil, no sickness, no sorrow, nothing can bother you as long as you hold that token. Satan come against you, you present that token. I got the Holy Ghost. You coming into my home trying to take my son, take my daughter, we got to get you a notice right here, devil. You can't do it anymore. I'm holding the token. He said, hold that token in your hand. You have the assurance of resurrection. You have the assurance that everything you have need of in this journey is provided in that token of his suffering of Calvary. There's no devil can stand before it. There's nothing can stand before it. It's because God has accepted it. Just the other morning, Brother George, and I hope you don't mind me sharing this. We're going to end with this. Brother George sent us a text. It was me and Brother Timothy. Said he woke up Monday morning, if I'm not mistaken. He said, I woke up this morning with the burden of the world on my shoulders. And I was at my office and I was reading this. And as I was reading and we were corresponding, me, him, and Brother Timothy back and forth, the Holy Spirit just came into my office and I just began to weep. Because there's a cry going through the land. Be not partakers of her sin. The prince of this world has come, but he has no part. He has no room in my home. He has no room in my life. He has no room with me at work. He has no room with me at school. He has no part with me. He says, I woke up this morning with the burden of the world on my shoulders. I feel like there's been a war rage on God's elect and millions that don't even know what side they're fighting on. I want to ask everyone I see today if they know what side they're on. It's deciding time. I think that's a good question for us tonight. Whose side are you on? And Brother Timothy replied, he said, it's identifying time. It's seed time. It's bride time. It's rapture time. It's going home time. It's body change time. It's Jesus in the air time. And I replied, it's time to stand when so many are falling. It's time to draw our sword, though we may have to stand alone. It's time that we wage war against the adversary. It's time that we not shut our back and let somebody else die, or not let another young people go out and go drift into the world. But it's time for us as believers to move to the front lines, and though it costs you everything on this world, and crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and exalt him through his true place in your life, to be the Lord of your life. It's time, church. Satan is the God of this world. Is he your God? Have you given him room in your life? Have you exalted his pleasures above the word of God? Have you allowed him access into your home because you don't want to cause any commotion with the kids? You want to be liked. It's time, church. It's time tonight that we crown Jesus Lord and let him be the ruler of his bride. Brother Tim Winters was also, he was also included in that text where he sent Brother Timothy a text the day before. And it's regarding some young brother. He said, Brother William, this was Sunday night. Brother William stayed at my house last night, and him and Brandon stayed up all night long, not playing the Wii, not playing video games. What do you think two young 16-year-olds are going to do all night long? Talk about girls? They're not talking about girls. They were talking about the Lord and praying. I'm telling you, there's a revival that's taking place. There's somebody that's going to crown him Lord. There's somebody that's, that's coming out that says, I refuse to be a partaker of the plague and of our sins. I'm coming out of this Laodicean age. I'm not going to be lukewarm anymore. I'm going to let the fire of the Holy Spirit set me on fire tonight and make me a real son and a real daughter of God. I'm giving my allegiance to him tonight. I'm giving myself away. Oh, can we say that tonight, church? Will you allow yourself to give yourself to him? Won't you just bow your heart and your head tonight? The God of this world has come and he's blinded the masses. But he's not my God. He may be crowned the God of Laodicea. He may be the God of this age, but I serve a living God. His word is true. His word is pure. He's not a deceiver. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. He's a provider. He's a savior. He's a shelter. He's a rock of defense. He's the mighty God. And let me tell you, he won't leave you fighting alone. He draws his sword tonight. Will you draw yours? If you say, Lord, I'm going to draw my sword with you tonight. Slip your hand up. You let the devil know whose side you're on tonight. God sees your hands. So Lord, I want to rededicate my life. I hadn't been completely sold out the way that I should tonight. Look, don't make a compromise with the enemy. Tonight is the night to say, I'm drawing my sword. I'm declaring war on my adversary. The prince of this world has come, but he's not having any room in my heart. He's not having any part with me, because tonight I'm giving myself away. Brother Mike, won't you lead us in that song? Make that your cry tonight, church. Make that your dedication tonight. Rededicate your life. Rededicate your soul. Rededicate your home. It's time that we rededicate ourselves to him and let the revival fires of this word begin to flow through our life. Begin to manifest. Give yourself away tonight so that he can use you. So you can become all that he's desired for you to be. If you need prayer tonight, we'd pray with you. But you make that desire. You make that declaration tonight.
So you can use me. Here I am.
Can you say that tonight? Here I am, Lord.
Here I stand.
I'm standing for you tonight.
Lord, my life is in your hands. All my longing is to see your desires revealed in me. I give myself away. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. Take my heart, take my life. Oh, as a living sacrifice and all my dreams. All my plans, oh Lord, I place them in your hands. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so that you can use. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away. Oh, here I am, Lord. Yes, here I am. Here I stand. Oh, Lord, yes, my life, it's in your hands. Lord, I'm longing to see, yes, your desire revealed. I give myself away. Yes, I give myself. Oh, sing it again. I give myself away. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself. Yes, Lord, so you can use me. Oh, I give myself away. Myself away. Oh, my life is not my own. Yes, my life is not my own. Oh, to you I belong. I give myself to you. Yes, my life is not my own. Oh, to you I belong. I give myself. I give myself to you. Yes, my life is not my own. Oh, to you I belong. I give myself. I give myself to you. Yes, Lord, my life is not my own. Oh, to you I belong. I give myself. I give myself to you. Won't say it again to him now. Yes, Lord, my life is not my own. You I belong. I give myself. I give myself to you. I give myself away. I give myself away. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away. So you, I give myself, Lord, away. Oh, I give myself away. So you can use me. I give myself. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. Oh, yes, Lord, my life is in your hands. All together. tide, oh, your spirit's moving me to give my all. Oh, he speaks to me, and I feel the pull, I feel the pull, yes, I feel the pull, and I hear the call. Oh, and I know the Spirit's moving me. I want to give my home, and Lord, you speak to me. Oh, and I agree. Oh, Lord, please come and take control. I feel the cold at night. And I begin to cry. Oh, and my mind just fails to know the things that, oh, I can't explain it, and I can't explain with tongue or pen the Spirit's groaning deep. I'm so glad that it must be God. Oh, that's here in my soul, 'cause I'm free. Amen. Just worship Him. Oh, I feel the pull, and I pull, sing it again. And I feel the pull. Yes, I hear the call. And I know it's
would there be one young person? Would there be somebody that says, you know, Brother Joe, I've been in a battle. I've been feeling all along. Satan has been raging war in my mind. Tell me I've crossed the line or I'm not going to make it. I'm here to tell you, my brother, sister, you hath he quickened. You've already made alive with him. You're made alive with him. And now we are seated in heavenly places. Not in depression, not in despair, not in loneliness, not in sorrow, but we're seated now in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Won't you say, Lord, that's where I want to be tonight. Lord, I want to take my position in the heavenlies. Take my position as a son and daughter of God. You don't have to stay there. When the Spirit of God is moving, when the water's being troubled, today is your day of deliverance. Today is your day, church. Hear my humble cry. Oh yeah, there may not be a tear streaming down your face, but deep down in that heart of yours is crying out, oh, I want God, but how do I get to him? He's calling others. Won't you say tonight, don't pass me by. Don't pass me by tonight. Lord, make me all that you want me to be.
I'm crying.